Good morning, everyone. This morning we're in Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And that was a remarkable thing, all you who listen, is to have the followers of Yahweh God throughout all the Old Testament and to have the Jews be God's chosen family, and they kind of, as we've talked about, look down on those Gentiles, to now see anyone non-Jewish, which really what is what a Gentile is. I mean, probably they thought of more of them as of Greek influence, not a Israelite, not a follower of Judaism. Really, everyone else was Gentiles. But now to see that God accepted them, and that indeed His Holy Spirit was going to come and reside in them who believe, and also the big change in food laws and Old Testament law, really, that now, you know, we have to take a look at the New Testament to find out what it means to follow the Old Testament law, that we're not bound by it. All of this was massive change to them. And I think sometimes we, don't appreciate enough the freedom that we have today. And that we don't have to really worry about like what we eat. We don't have to worry about the Sabbath the way they used to before and all the laws they added to it. You know, now it's so beautiful and so simple that to become someone forgiven of sin, we believe in Jesus. We believe that He died and rose again, that He is the Lord and Savior of our lives. Now, it shouldn't be simple in the sense that we say, you know, we don't have the responsibility to follow Him. Like, we need to be devoted to our Master. But yet, that's all it is. It's coming to Him in faith and being devoted to Him. And it's not about a bunch of Old Testament laws and rules anymore. It's about the person of Jesus Christ and who He is in your life. Hallelujah. So this is a big change. And you're going to see people struggle to embrace that when they've followed Old Testament and Judaism all these years. So, and when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised, so that's Jews, people who assimilated with Judaism by being circumcised, took issue with him. They took issue with Peter, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them?" See how separate they found themselves, which, again, they went overboard in that, you know, because Abraham was supposed to be a blessing to the nations, and they really weren't. They were just setting themselves apart and looking down on everyone else. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a green sheet." Now, this is all about what happened in Acts chapter 10, and Peter's retelling the story to illustrate to them that God did something here in order to convince me that this is what we need to do. Anyways, he saw a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing unclean or unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a voice from heaven answered a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." I mean, this is a massive shift through this angel. This happened three times. He needed to be convinced, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men, and the timing of God, isn't it amazing? This is, I love it. Three men appeared at the house in which we are staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgiving, since they were Gentile. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house, that was Cornelius, and he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in the house and saying, "Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here, and he will speak words to you by which you will be saved." Hallelujah. That's why they were so ready. They knew they were going to get saved. And when Peter shared it with them, they just believed. I mean, they were set up by an angel. Hallelujah. May God set up our loved ones who have not receive Jesus yet, may they have open hearts. May they begin to seek him, and may they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior too. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit, you know, he's like, I didn't even finish. You know, I began speaking and the Holy Spirit fell on them. He's talking about the people in Cornelius' house, just as he did upon us at the beginning. He's referring, I believe, to Pentecost, because, you know, they started speaking in tongues and he could tell right away that these men had received Christ. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's been a significant topic of our teachings. I mean, water baptism is really important, and it obeys God and it honors God, and we should be water baptized as a believer in Jesus. But spirit baptism is how you get saved, and sometimes that happens in conjunction with water baptism. But when you genuinely believe and God knows it, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He pours out his Spirit and he comes and lives inside of you and helps you to live the Christian life for him. Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift, if he gave to these Gentiles as he gave to us also after believing, see, that's when you get the Spirit, is after believing, when God knows, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? He's like, hey, it's not up to me. If God's going to pour out his Spirit on all who believe, whether Jew or Gentile, that's up to him. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God. And good for these men to accept this testimony and see God was in it. They quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also repentance that leads to life. And you know what? We should repent from our old way, and we should embrace the new man in Jesus Christ and not live according to our old man. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen, remember when Stephen was martyred and everyone was scattered? It was actually God used that for his glory to have people leave Jerusalem and take the gospel to all the places of the known world at the time. And they made their way, these people, to Phoenicia and to Cyprus and to Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to the Jews alone. So these people went only to the Jews, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, that would be the Gentiles as well, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number, and I believe he's referring to the Greeks here, who believed, turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, so the news of the gospel spreading even among Gentiles, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, when he saw the people coming to faith and rejoicing in the Lord, and he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart, with purpose of heart, to remain true to the Lord. And I love that. And we should be encouraged to remain true to the Lord, not just take our initial salvation as the whole thing, but say, you know what? Now that I am saved, I want to remain true to the Lord. I want to honor him. I want to live for him. I want to have resolute heart to live for the Lord. And speaking of Barnabas, it says here, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. What a wonderful thing. May that be said of us, hey? That we were good men, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Oh God, make me a man like Barnabas. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Hallelujah. And he looked for Tarsus. He left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they, Barnabas and Saul, met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And this is the first time you see the word Christians used. And I looked that up, and it really means to be a Christ follower. And it ended up being a title that had an honorable title to it. You know, what an honor to be called a Christ follower, to be called a Christian. And, you know, sadly today, I think the term, at least by the world, has been watered down, where, you know, anyone who, I don't know, professes a casual belief in Jesus to some extent is called a Christian. But sometimes that lowest common denominator then creates what a Christian is. Instead of having a high and lofty view of being a Christ follower of resolute heart, and really that should be what we are as Christians, and may we promote that to being an honorable name, to be a Christ follower. So may our example be good. May we be fully devoted to our Lord. You know, think about it. Really, what is a Christian? It's someone who says, you know what? I believe in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who died and rose again, and who now has forgiven sin to all those who believe, and comes and resides in people who believe in him. And now we we represent him. We live the Christian life. We live for his purpose. And you know, when all that's authentic, it's a beautiful thing. And may that be true of us. Hallelujah. Now at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus, and he comes up later. And I was looking at him this morning, and yeah, it was pretty cool to see. You know, not everyone was prophetic, but this guy was, and he stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine over all the world, and this took place in the reign of Claudius. So he predicted a famine, and later on he's going to predict or prophesy that the Apostle Paul is going to be arrested and tried and ultimately killed, and that comes in Acts 21, and Agabus knew that ahead of time as well. It's pretty special to see someone with that prophetic gift like that. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. So Judea was experiencing a famine, and disciples from Antioch felt led to send money for the people living in Jerusalem and Judea to help with relief. And you know, we should be generous. We should have generous spirits and be generous with our resources to help others. That should be a sign of a Christian that loves Jesus. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. Well, praise God for these Christ followers of resolute heart. And praise God that the gospel and that Christianity has now come to any and all who believe. They're still sorting all that out, as we'll see in the chapters to come. And praise God, it has been sorted out so that we don't stumble over that today. We realize we don't have to become a Jew first to become a Christian. We can just go straight to Jesus. Hallelujah. But may we be authentic Christians now, and may we show it in how we live and even how we use our resources for the glory of God. God bless you all.